Intiman Theater opens its fourth summer season this month. Just 5 years ago, Intiman Theater had a near-death experience, shutting down with more than $1 million in debt. There was doubt that the Intiman could reinvent itself and thrive. Intiman's artistic director, Andrew Russell, had a vision, and he recruited a small crew to help carry it out. Award-winning designer Jennifer Zeil was one of those people. Marcy Silman asked Andrew Russell what it was like when he found out that Intiman was closing back in 2011.
Well, heartbreak. Absolutely heartbreak. And confusion and anxiety and all of those things that happen when the human body faces something that's unexpected.
You had come from New York, but you didn't go back. You stayed here.
Correct. Yeah, I stayed here and enjoyed Seattle in the summer and thought I would see how things unfolded and just took it month by month. And here we are.
So when did you start imagining a new pathway for Intiman?
When the board asked for people to come in and present ideas, I certainly thought about what could work in this city, and I was informed a lot by what the board was doing in the community. They were doing public conversations, Q&As to figure out what needs existed. We wanted to make sure that when coming back, we were actually satisfying a need and not simply coming back just to come back. And it was a new adventure. I mean, I was 28 at the time, which feels like 10 years ago, even though I'm 32 now.
I'm talking to Intiman Theater's producing artistic director, Andrew Russell. Intiman is just about to open its 2015 summer festival. And with us as well is Jen Zeil, who is the artistic producer of Intiman and a designer. Jen, in 2012, when Intiman was about to embark on this first summer festival, what did you think when you heard this idea? Here, once upon a time, had been this theater of the classics in the city, and now it was going to have this very abbreviated sort of fast festival, and you were going to maybe be part of it.
At a time when I finished graduate school, which was in 2003, and the following year, I lost motor control of the left side of my body. And Intiman gave me a union contract honoring my union affiliation on the East Coast, and I became their scenic painter.
So you're telling me you had a loyalty to the company.
Absolutely.
That predated Andrew.
It did. They've supported me in so many different ways. Andrew is the person who made the phone call to me to say, the theater is closing. That was his job, was to call all of the artists currently on contract Intiman and tell them the bad news.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Isn't that called the Axe Man or
something? It's like that episode in House of Cards where that poor assistant fires all the staff and then walks in and Robin Wright's like, you're fired too.
One of the things that first year that you were determined to do was to raise the money ahead of time, to raise $1 million. It was kind of pay as you go. You did that. You raised the money ahead for the second festival. Is that now the modus operandi for the...
We certainly had to do it that first year because we had no money and no...
Well, you had negative money.
Capital and no credit, of course. Yeah, we had negative money at the time. We're blessed that 4 years later, we are in such a strong financial position that while we do raise money in a seasonal format, often in advance, it is not critical to our producing model. So we're incredibly fiscally responsible. You don't go through what we went through and not do that from a board and staff leadership position. But what is exciting is having built the church, having an understanding of what the congregation is, now we really get to think about what the sermons are saying, where we want the congregation to go when they're not in the church. And those are more important conversations for institutions to be having, despite my enjoyment of reliving the mania of rebuilding or reopening a new Intiman.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this because in its very first incarnation years ago when Megs Booker founded the company, Intiman was sort of the classic theater company in the city or the region, because it wasn't in the city right away, as opposed to Seattle Rep and ACT Theater. So those were the sort of the big daddies of the theater, big mamas, however you want to phrase it.
Mamas.
As you think about what sermons you're going to be preaching and what songs that choir is going to be singing in this church, what is it? Are you the Lutherans? Are you the evangelicals? I mean, where are you?
We hope in the future to be known as a theater that celebrates socially progressive work and acknowledges that we are a theater for the public good. We are not a commercial entity. We are here to serve our stakeholders and to serve the incredibly diverse diversity of King County. The mission of the theater is to produce produce theater. It's relevant to our time and as diverse as the community in which we live. And despite a lot of liberal thinking and socially progressive intention, our arts community, and in particular our theater sector, has not done an appropriate job of inviting people of color and people from different classes and different abilities into the fold.
Jen Seil, as in your role as working with Andrew on crafting this vision, what would you like to see on the stages in this city?
Oh my goodness. It absolutely has to do with what we see on stage, for sure. My long-term goal is to diversify production artists. All of the designers that I know of and all of the stagehands that are working with our theater companies are not people of color or people of diverse backgrounds, for the most part. And why that is because you have to come from an incredible place of privilege to even know not even what theater is, but technical theater, right? So my extreme passion right now is to bring technical theater and technical theater training in partnership with our unions, in partnership with shops that exist in high schools, and bring technical theater, at least into, this is a goal of mine, in the next calendar year, to one public school.
I mean, I know that there are theaters specifically of different ethnic communities, but has any company that exists in this region made this kind of very stated goal that we need to have this kind of diversity backstage, front stage, in the art?
Not that I know of, and that very well may be true, that not that I know of. And so we do not make these moves to assume that we are better or worse or more focused or not. And I mean that genuinely, because this is bigger than any kind of, you know, competitive edge or one-upping. I don't know of any other theater that is saying that casting must be 50% people of color, which is what we did this year, and that's what Jen is referencing. And I don't know how the future will unfold for Entomon, but this is how we're able to think now that we have financial stability, now that we have a model that people understand, now that we have about 150 artists that we engage every year. This is what we now have the brain space to do.
Just a last question. You have these other goals. They're big. They're hefty.
Yep.
Will the form that you present them in this summer festival be the form that continues?
For the near future, for sure. We have made a lot of fast moves in switching how we produce, what our mission is, who's doing the leadership. That's a lot. So we want our audiences to get used to this format. So for another couple of years, this is what we will be doing.
That's Andrew Russell, Artistic Director of Seattle's Entomon Theater. Jennifer Seil is Entomon's Producing Director, and they spoke with Marcy Selman. Entomon opens its fourth summer festival on July 10th. It continues with a series of different productions through early October, and it's going to be at venues all over Seattle.